Welcome to another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors, your frontline defense against identity theft. We're all about prevention. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org. Use the code FSN2 and you can get started now. Welcome. You are listening to the Identity Theft Warriors. I'm Kerry Lutz. This is show number 47. We talked before about ransomware, and it's becoming more and more popular, a more and more popular way for the hackers, cyber criminals, to get money out of unsuspecting people. And nothing worse than when you're going along with your life, your business, and all of a sudden you can't access your data because some hacker out there has encrypted it and locked it up and you have no access to it. Well, Paul Oster, been here before. BetterQualified.com is a site you'll find him at, expert in cybersecurity, crime, credit restoration, etc. With us now to discuss this potential epidemic, Paul. Great to have you back on.
Oh, thanks for having me back on, Kerry.
Hey, so ransomware, I mean, it just happened to a hospital down in Florida. It seems to be happening more and more, becoming a real problem, isn't it?
Well, it is. And one of the things that I've been talking about most recently is that it's not just businesses. These hackers have realized that if they do this to, you know, the average consumer, that the same thing happens. They're going to be able to, you know, demand X amount of ransom for that data. You know, what are all of your pictures and files worth? So they're not just attacking businesses anymore. They're certainly going after, the average consumer's computer and data also.
Yeah. And so you do backups, you've got multiple backups on your hard drive. Is the ransomware going to lock you out of your backups also?
No, so the simplest thing to do is to actually just have all of your data backed up and you'll be okay. But the average person thinks that their data is being backed up. But unless you're checking that on a regular basis, you might be in for, an unpleasant surprise that your data is not being backed up. So if you have your data backed up, whether you're a hospital or a bank or just an individual, then you're okay.
Yeah. And so for myself, I've been at this computer game since the latter part of the 70s. And one thing I know is it's Murphy's Law of computers. The one thing you will lose if your computer goes down is the thing that you didn't back up. It's almost guaranteed. So I have multiple backups. I back up to an offsite cloud-based backup service, and I encrypt it on there, of course. And I have a hard drive that I back up to regularly. I mean, on the fly, every single file that is changed gets backed up as it's done. I mean, right now as we speak, my hard drive is backing up 27.86 gigabytes. And the nice thing is I've got it up in my status bar on the top of the screen. So if they stop backing up, it puts a red flag in front of that app and you can't help but notice it. Is there anything else I should be doing here?
No, you're good. You would certainly be able to restore to the point, just prior to them encrypting and locking up the data. But what a lot of people do is they'll back up their files on the same server. And obviously, if this malware has gotten in, it's going to get into your backup files if it's on the same server. So what you're doing as a cloud-based backup, secondary hard drives and stuff like that, that's really, the most important thing to do.
Yeah. So cloud and physical and, the one thing I feel like I should be doing is having a remote backup, backing it up to another physical location with a hard drive. I used to do this in my office. I had a hard drive at home and it automatically backed up to that hard drive. I mean, I feel like that's the missing link. Am I being a little extreme there?
Well, it depends how valuable and important your data is. To me, you know, I couldn't live a day without the data that we certainly have on file. So, you know, we go to those extremes and we do everything, you know, in our power, because the problem with the ransomware is this. You know, you could have the greatest firewall protection security system in place. The way that the ransomware works is it's through the end user. So, you know, we have about 30 people that work for us, and it only takes one person to click on, an email that looks and feels like it's a valid email coming from somebody else. And they may have already, you know, been in their files, and they'll pick, they may have broken into their Gmail account or an email account, and they'll pick one of their contacts, and it'll say, you know, it'd be like me sending you an email. Hey, Terry, in the subject line, Terry, check out this breaking story.
Yeah.
And I simply put a link there, and you know me. So you say, wow, Paul Oster sent me a breaking story, and you click on that link. And, you know, as soon as you do that, you're in trouble. So those are the types of things that, you know, we re-educate our staff all the time. We do everything that we possibly can. But the reality is that there's really no way to prevent this other than saying, do not click on any links. But, you know, then it's hard to do business on a daily basis, because so many of those things, you know, whether it looks like a PDF file or a link to a different website, you know, it's almost impossible not to click on links on a daily basis.
Well, the one thing that you do have with the certain operating systems is the ability to preview a link before yep. you actually open it. And then it's not going to do the harm that it otherwise might.
Yep. So again, those are things that the average person doesn't have installed on their, you know, home-based computer. And this is really why I've been covering this, because most people, first of all, you don't hear about it because nobody wants to brag about the fact that they, you know, were a victim of ransomware.
No.
You can't call the cops. You're not going to recover your money. You know, the cyber thieves are paid in bitcoins. It's completely anonymous. And at the end of the day, what they figured out is the sweet spot is about $1,000. You have 48 hours to make a decision. If you don't pay them, they're going to delete your files. If you pay them, they'll send you the key to unencrypt your files. So thankfully, you know, this is a business model for them. So as bad as it is and as malicious as it really is, it's not like they take your money and then don't give you the key. That would be evil, I guess. So
that's pretty evil what they're doing.
Yeah, this is a business model for them. And they want the word to get out there that if you pay, you get your files back. So around $1,000, you have 48 hours to make the decision. And, you know, they do this thousands of times a day. And again, the latest targets are actual individual consumers. So we all have to be careful.
Well, amazing thing. There was a hospital in South Florida, and they spent a week trying to break the encryption, and they couldn't do it. And finally, they were back to using paper records, Paul. And they just decided, hey, it's cost us too much money. I think the ransom there was somewhere around $30,000. They had spent $100,000+ on consultants trying to crack it. And finally, they just said, we just can't do this anymore. We can't be out of business.
Yep.
Paid the money, got the key, decrypted it.
Well, not only remarkable. That, it was costing that hospital a minimum of $100,000 a day because they couldn't perform the CT scans, the MRIs at the capacity and volume that they were used to. So, you know, then they start to look at, okay, every day I don't do this, I'm losing $100,000. That is also why we've spoken about why the price of poker is certainly going to go up. And it's not going to go up by a couple of bucks, you know, it'll go up by the tens of thousands of dollars for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, well, you might be covered by insurance for this type of thing, too. If it's you're really going to cost a lot because you got business interruption insurance that covers when your computers are down, and you've got a variety of other coverages that just might save your bacon here. But I wouldn't count on it. I'm sure they're going to be writing exclusions into these policies for ransomware.
Yeah, well, you know, every business, and I don't know what the level is, but at a certain point, every business needs to have a cybersecurity insurance policy.
Yep, for sure. And I remember one time I had a policy, business interruption, and I had a server literally blow up on me, and I was going back in the backup tapes because the one that was in it was destroyed, and I found a backup tape that worked. I was able to go to a friend's office who had the same backup drive as I did and take a hard drive and restore all those files to it. But we were down for about 4 or 5 days, and I wound up getting a substantial insurance payment for under business interruption. They paid for the computer, and they paid for our downtime. It was pretty remarkable, but I would have rather...
there's an easier way to make money.
Believe me, there's no way I wanted this to happen.
I hear you. So,
a horror show.
You know, I think the clear message is both on a personal and business level. You can't spend enough time, money, and effort trying to make sure that you're not only covered in the event that you ultimately, become a victim, but you got to do whatever you can to try and prevent it. And although those efforts might seem futile, you have to do it. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, you have no choice in the matter. Do it now. This is a classic case of that old saw, ounce of prevention worth a pound of cure, and then some here. Because
no, that's right.
The time, you can't get the time back. Once your time is gone, it's gone, and that's it. So better to be proactive about it and prevent it from happening, or God forbid it does happen, then you got your backups there. You can never have enough backups, in my humble opinion. Like I say, I have a double backup, but I'm still not really secure about it. So, maybe I'm neurotic, but when it comes to this stuff, you can't be too neurotic, can you?
No, it's the cost and price of doing business in today's world. We all enjoy the convenience and speed of doing business on the internet, but it comes with great risk, that's for sure.
Yeah, so it does. And there's a lot of other things you can do to protect your security, to protect your data, and to ensure against these unwanted intrusions and possible extortion attempts. And I know you're going to want to find out more. Paul, best place to find you, best place to contact you?
The best place to contact us is on our website, which is betterqualified.com.
Betterqualified.com. Don't be a victim. You can avoid it. Even if you can't avoid the actual act from happening, you can avoid having no exit strategy other than to pay the extortion money, which you're not going to be able to look yourself in the mirror in the morning. Hey, Paul, it's always great to have you on. We will talk with you again soon, and you take care.
Thank you, Gary. Have a great day. Bye now.
This has been another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org and use the code FSN2 to get started now.